Eddie was on his way back to his own stand when he noted that, across the midway, the blonde at the root beer booth was staring at him, as if noticing him for the first time. Then, catching his gaze, she quickly turned away and returned to work. But come midnight, closing time, Eddie was startled to find the blonde standing at his counter, asking, "Your name's Eddie, right?"
Yeah, that's right.
"See, I've got a good memory, just bad manners," she smiled sheepishly. A girl gets so many come-ons in this business, she starts thinking every guy who looks at her cockeyed is a wolf you've got to beat off with a stick, and I was having a bad day, too. Sorry.
"Oh, well, that's okay," Eddie said magnanimously.
"My name's Adele Wirth. I'm on my way over to the sideshow. We're putting together a little party. You want to come along?"
Eddie was surprised but pleased.
"Sure. It's potluck. You got anything left over?" Eddie filled a big bucket with cotton candy and another with popcorn. Adele cadged a tub of fries from the hot dog vendor. As they made their way to the sideshow tent, Eddie asked,
"So, how long you worked here?"
2 seasons, but it's a summer job. I'm really a movie actress."
Eddie tried not to sound incredulous. "You are?"
"I was in a bunch of two-reelers when I was a little girl. Fort Lee used to be the motion picture capital of the world, didn't you know?"
Eddie had to admit that no, he hadn't.
"I haven't done any pictures in a while," Adele admitted. "The directors say my eyes don't photograph well because they're so light. I'm waiting for Technicolor to become standard, then I think they'll be an asset."
"I think your eyes are beautiful," Eddie said. "Or was that a come-on?"
She laughed. "Probably, but I'll take it as a compliment instead."
Ada stood a moment, looking at his face. And then, after a time, she looked into the hole of the hat, too. Inman caught himself, fearing that the expression on his face was that of a dog sitting at the lip of a groundhog burrow. He looked at Ada, and she turned up her palms and raised an eyebrow to signify a general question. "You're free to put your hat back on and say something," she said.
"It's just that you've been the subject of considerable speculation," Inman said.
"Like a novelty, is it, speaking to me?"
"No."
"A challenge, then? Perhaps from that circle of dullards there?"
"Not at all."
"Well, then, you supply the simile."
"Like grabbing up a chestnut burr, at least thus far."
Ada smiled and nodded. She had not figured him to know the word. "Then," she said, "tell me this. A woman earlier commented on the recent weather. She called it sheep-killing weather. I've been wondering, can't get it out of my mind. Did she mean weather appropriate for slaughtering sheep, or weather foul enough to kill them itself without assistance, perhaps by drowning or pneumonia?"
"The first," Inman said.
"Well, then, I thank you. You've served a useful purpose." She turned and walked away to her father. Inman watched her touch Monroe's arm and say something to him, and they went to the cabriolet and climbed in and wheeled off, fading down the lane between fence rows thicketed with blossoming blackberry canes. The jingoistic fervor of the London Times notwithstanding, English lawmakers began in early 1847 to bend under the mounting worldwide criticism of England's treatment of Ireland. That spring, the government passed the Poor Relief Bill, which advanced a loan of £10 million, one half to be expended on public works, the other half for outdoor relief in the form of soup kitchens. By the end of April 1847, the relief works had under its employ
no fewer than 730,000 Irish fathers, or mothers if the fathers were dead, who, with their children, represented well over half the country's population of roughly 8 million. These starving men and women walked barefoot 5 to 10 miles over cold, sodden ground to work all day long for 10 pence, without so much as a morsel of food, on roads and bridges that British law decreed had to be unproductive, in accordance with laissez-faire doctrine opposing governmental interference in economic affairs. Women with infant children could be seen breaking stones for bridges where there was no water, or for roads that led nowhere, benefited no one, and to this day have never been used.